If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is proud to be part of the Osiris Podcasting family, a growing community of music and culture podcasts connecting music fans like you with conversation, commentary, and music. For more, visit osirispod.com. The show starts now. Listening to Burning Grass from Decker's latest release, Born to Wake Up. Though not a household name to many, Decker has been toiling as a singer-songwriter for just under a decade in Sedona, Arizona. It's from that vibrant landscape that his words and playing are fused into a sort of alt-country, country-rock hybrid, well, on acid. Those aren't my words. As you'll soon hear, those are his. His latest effort, Born to Wake Up, combines the aesthetic for which he is known for with a much more personal approach to the themes of the music this go-round. Our conversation started when I asked Decker about completing his seventh record so quickly, only a year since his last.
Well, you know, in reality, the End of the Red was kind of a compilation. There were some new recordings on it, but it kind of came on the tail end of another album. And how long these processes take. I really hadn't had a writing flurry for a good year and a half. So I feel like I was due. But really what it was, you know, I was just kind of gifted with a flood of inspiration. And it was a real effortless flow, unlike the rest of things usually. But the writing of it came just, I had a real nice period of inspiration. And I definitely attribute it to, I was spending a lot of time on the land here in Sedona, and it's a real special place. I don't know if you've ever been here.
I haven't, but I would imagine based on what I know of the area and, you know, what I've read and seen, that it is a special place in terms of the environment and just being sort of open in the wilderness, in the heat and all of the creation that's around you. I mean, that's pretty crazy and heady stuff, right?
Yeah, I think this place in particular is just, it's kind of like one of these, like, Machu Picchu or Stonehenge kind of places, you know, that there just really is some energetic quality to the land. It's really healing.
The Red Rock Mountains and all of that, I assume, you know, are part of it. And you spend a lot of time hiking around, right? And you spend a lot of time in the environment, spending time out there, right?
I mean, I live on a big mountain, and I'm sitting on it right now. I was on it earlier. but yeah, I'd say daily. Daily I am out on the land here. It's been a real blessing.
Is there something specific, or is it just the emotion and just being out there and walking around and taking it all in? Or are there specific things that you think about, or specific things that tweak your emotion while you're hiking around or hanging out there?
Well, I think spending time in nature in general, or hiking, is a real meditative device. You know, if meditation is breath work towards silencing the thinking mind, I mean, that's kind of what's going on out there. You get into that rhythm, and you're breathing, and you're in silence, and you're present. I am finding more and more in my life that state, you know, however we get to it, is where, you know, I guess true freedom and flow happen.
Right. Right.
But again, yeah, I there's just something particular here. I without getting all far into it, you know, they talk about these vortexes and stuff, and
right.
Some people liken, I've never needed an intellectual explanation to whatever's happening here. I'm just grateful for it. But some people liken these vortex spots to like the chakras on the body.
Right.
And for instance, they say Glastonbury is like the heart chakra. And someone was telling me that they have been there, and that when you're in Glastonbury, have you ever been there? I've not been there.
I have not been there, no.
That when you're there, you kind of feel this ancient love,
right?
You know, like of the heart, and it, you know, there's some ancient energy here that you had Native Americans here, you know, arguably as far back as 5-10,000 BC,
right?
It's definitely a special place. So I just keep coming back to that. But anyway.
No, I get it. And I get that, you know, obviously being able to reflect on your environment and being able to reflect on your, not just the environment, but your life and being out there. this record kind of, well, your previous albums have tended to lean a little darker, and I think that this one by the end gives us a little more hope. Was that on purpose? Was it purposeful to sort of create the record in that way and to do the tracking in that way, or is it kind of just what ended up while you were recording it?
No, if I'm honest, I was writing what I normally write, and I encountered this really interesting individual. She was definitely a psychic. Yes, just one of these people.
Right.
I was playing some of the new songs for her, and she challenged me to, take some of the vulnerability, I guess, that I've always put in my music and channel that in a way that was more of the light instead of kind of on that darker side. And then the second, this was right in the midst of writing the album in December. And I think that kind of shifted the second half of the material of the record. And then it all just felt kind of perfect because of a lot of the themes. I mean, as it was all just happening really fluidly, I mean, the themes of the record really became light and dark and day and night and life and death and, the moon and the sun. And that was really how I ended up wanting to shape the album. Kind of the album starts with some field recordings of me at night and coyotes. And, it was literally me walking around in the mountains at night. And then kind of goes through that part of the journey. And then, the second half is kind of like the waking up.
Awake probably is the beginning, right? Matador is probably the end of the darkness, and then into the light we go, with obviously a few hints of sadness. I mean, not losing, but paying tribute to your grandmother and the saint. That's some heavy stuff on the back end of the record. You do kind of wear your influences on your sleeve, though, right? I mean,
what do you got?
Well, the influences are kind of all over the place, but I can't listen to Burning Grass without thinking of Tom Petty.
Yeah, it's definitely that was a Tom Petty ode. I very much love Tom Petty. We've always played some of his songs in most sets, and that song was definitely an ode to Mr. Petty.
And The Straw Man is of the, I have to use this term now, classic country, because otherwise people get thinking that I'm talking Taylor Swift or some other nonsense. But Hank Williams or Jennings, but just that real Johnny Cash, that really earthy kind of classic country sound for The Straw Man.
So, yeah, that's definitely. I've always called it Hank Williams on LSD.
right. But that speaks more to the production than necessarily the songwriting itself,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And your son was along for the ride for this a little bit, right? I mean, again, as a product of your environment, you have to speak to and be inspired by what's around you. And your son was around for the making of this record. How active was he in any of this?
Well, I mean, my son is my true inspiration and light day to day. And one of the byproducts of, being in music is, I mean, there just is inevitably this time away.
Right.
And now, unfortunately, it's not fleshing out this way, but my intention was that this record would in no way take away from my son, but rather he'd be a part of it and feel that, and it would enhance our understanding of each other. So I brought him along on every photo shoot, every video shoot. He is the person who hears the songs as they're written. You know, I mean, it's happening in our living room while he's fiddling around. he's hearing all of the demos as they're, you know, I'm kind of listening to them in the car, you know, studying them. And indeed, you know, I mean, there's a lot of lines that are for him and about him. And he helped me write one of the songs, Mexico.
Oh.
We were sitting at the dinner table one night, and I was like, would you like to write a song with me? And he was like, okay. And so I just asked him questions about his life, you know, and every line I just kind of sculpted out of his answers. He effectively named Burning Grass. These stories start to sound so rehearsed, but I mean, it's the reality of the story.
They're great.
I was listening to the demos, and we were driving to between two little desert communities out here, the mountain desert, and we were writing and listening to it. I was like, Cohen, what do you think the song should be called? And he looked out the window reflectively. He was 6 years old, and he was like, the grass is burning. And I was like, whoa, that's heavy. So I ran it by one of my, you know, close advisors. And was like, what do you think about that? She's like, well, it's a little wordy. You know, why don't you see what you can do with it? And I thought about it, and I thought of, you know, just abbreviating it to Burning Grass.
Right.
And I said, Cohen, is that okay? And he said, yeah, that's cool. Like, he felt like it still honored his assessment. But, you know, very quickly it seemed obvious that Burning Grass was a great name for a tribute to Tom Petty.
Yes, indeed. That's right. You're on the road a lot. So, I mean, it does take you away from the environment, whether that's, you know, the mountains and the lushness of where, well, not the lushness, but the physical nature of where you live, but also your son. And so that must be a trip for you to be away. I mean, you're away most of October and November. Must be tough.
It really is a sad thing right now. He's actually moved. I'm in the middle of relocating to the Bay Area, actually, North Bay, out of the city, unexpectedly. And he's already moved, so I've got this period of over a month away from him that's backed up with another, you know, almost 2 months. It is what it is. It is hard. You know, I feel like better men than me have been away for longer periods of time. And ultimately, you know, one of the things I've always wanted to leave my son with was the demonstration of having the courage to live the life that is in your heart, you know, to not sell out your dreams. And so I think as of now, I've been aware that my duty seems to be, among many things, but artistically and I guess perhaps professionally, to make and share music. And so, you know, we're always faced with hard choices in life, and but this just seems to be what the calling is right now.
You are on the road for 2 months. Are you writing stuff while you're away? Are you thinking about new material, or is it just a singular effort to play the material and get psyched for each show that you do with the material that's already, you know, in the canon? Or is it a ongoing process for you?
You know, for me, it's very left brain, right brain. And when I write, I really need to be in one frame of mind. And when I go conduct the other operation, it's a different state of mind. I did write one more song for. I just felt I'm doing a lot of this touring solo, and I needed something. I needed a different piece to the live set, and I did write a new song. But it's mostly right now trying to perform these songs. I guess that's the task at hand, is to go share this music. So
you're touring solo. So does that mean you're literally driving from town to town on your own?
Well, a lot of it's solo. There's chunks where that is what I'm doing, and there's chunks where I have, one or two people with me, and there's chunks with the band too. Those are very small chunks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll only spend probably a quarter of it by myself, and the vast majority of it with one of my best friends who's in the band, and he's great company, and he can accompany me for the better part of the set.
So where do you see this in 3 or 4 or 5 years? They always ask where you see yourself in 10, but let's cut that in half and say, where do you see your music and Decker as a performance artist, as a singer-songwriter? Where do you see that in 5 years from now?
As long as I feel inspired and called, I think I will continue growing as an individual. And if I continue being inspired and called, I will try to transmit that and capture it and share it better and better.
Right.
And that's always kind of been the goal, is to dig deeper and become a better writer and performer. And 5 years, but I couldn't say. I could get who knows.
Right.
I didn't know this one was going to happen.
Right.
So
it's about catching the wave of inspiration and carrying on, I guess, or something like that.
Well, it's just I think whatever we're doing has got to be authentic. And thus far I've been, almost a decade in this trajectory, and it's been authentic. I just want to continue growing in that authenticity. I could just move out into the woods and be a nature boy for the rest of my life. I don't know. But I hope that it continues to develop. I hope that it whatever I'm doing is rippling out and reaching people, whether that's musically or just, existentially, as it were.
Well, I can tell you that it is a great record, and the canon of work to thus far has been absolutely inspirational, and we thank you for taking the time today, and thank you for... Born to Wake Up.
Hey, thank you, Ira. I appreciate you and your time and thoughts on the matter and energy. So hope to cross you whenever I make it up there to Toronto.
Decker is a fascinating storyteller, and I suspect much of that comes from his time alone in the desert, contemplating life and its various intricacies. There's no telling how a change in his environment will shape future records, but for now, Born to Wake Up is indeed a wonderfully lush record worth a listen. For more on Decker, visit deckermusic.com. As we leave you, have a listen to The Matador, a psychedelic trip that conjures up a very dark reality.
I'm just a robber who's been digging the graves. I'm just a matador. watching my fate. Well, I've been going and growing for days. I've been racing and chasing the chase. I've been facing my face much too late. I've been wasting my days with such haste.
Been listening to the Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit osirispod.com. Thanks for listening.
Osiris.